You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Clement Maniatella.
Live.
Online. Streaming countrywide on the 702 app.
DSTV channel 856.
92.7 and 106 FM.
8 minutes after 9 o'clock, Dumelang. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Clement Maniatella Show. I hope you're having a great start to your day. It's going to be an interesting 3 hours today. So buckle up and get ready to walk the talk with us over the next 3 hours here on 702.
You're with Clement Maniatella on 702.
Live.
Online.
Smartphones.
The 702 app.
DSTV channel 856.
92.7 and 106 FM.
As always, we start the show with the open line, the 702 open line, and it's your time, not mine, yours, to call me and set the agenda. You can call me and tell me what's on your mind this morning. What issue do you want to raise? 011-883-0702. And if you want to send me a WhatsApp voice note, you can also do that on 072-702-1702. The SMS line is 31702.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Maniatella
on 702.
So, have you seen a tweet by Mzwandile Masina, the Ekurhuleni mayor? I know, you're probably yawning, but hear this. He tweeted, and I quote, "Blacks must unite. These arrests are targeting black professionals and black business. We need to stand up and be counted. Some whites have been stealing with impunity and they're not arrested. It's now or never." I read this and I thought, number one, what kind of blind loyalty is this? So we must unite as the black race because alleged criminals who allegedly stole millions of taxpayers' money all in the name of being black? And number two, I responded to Masina's tweet with the names of white people that were recently arrested or handed themselves over. Andries van Tonder, Angelo Agrizi, Philip Truter, Franz Foster, Carlos Bonifacio, Patrick Gillingham, etc. Yeah, I know. There are instances where the so-called white businesses and white business people have not been brought before the courts for their crimes. The same way as there are some black people that haven't been held to account for their crimes. But this idea that black people must unite behind the black people being arrested for corruption is really ridiculous, to say the least, especially because you don't even know if these people are not guilty. That's my view. I'm interested to hear what's your view. And did you watch the film that was unfolding at the State Capture Inquiry yesterday? The former board chair of Transnet, Fika Mkhwanazi, was on the stand. My jaw is literally still on the floor. This is a man with a glowing profile, done incredibly well, very respected. And he has admitted some decisions that the board made were irrational, that money was paid to Siyabonga Gama that shouldn't have been paid. He seemed to confirm that Malusi Gigaba interfered in the work of Transnet. And I was looking at the developments at the State Capture Inquiry, and I wondered, some witnesses who have appeared at the inquiry made the big mistake of undermining the investigating capacity of the inquiry. They thought they will go there and say their truth and leave. But boy, the communications legal team has proven that it's done its work. I want to give you some quick context, and I see your calls. John Otto Moshere, I'm going to take your calls now. Let me quickly bring in Takwa Nangatan, who's the EWN reporter, who's been doing an incredible job covering the State Capture Inquiry. Your report, Takwa, and I've said this to you last night, are so contextual, very analytical. I miss covering the State Capture Inquiry. Thank you for coming through. I want you to give us a quick summary of why what we heard yesterday from Mr. Mkhwanazi is shocking.
Well, Clem, first of all, let's start with the fact that he was a chairperson of a board, right? He's a director of Transnet, and he's expected to look after the interests of that state-owned entity. That's number one, right? And then he meets with a minister who is coming in, has not even come into office, but is about to be a minister of public enterprises. And he tells him what to do regarding a dismissed official who has admitted guilt for gross misconduct. And that minister tells him that he wants him to review that dismissal. He decides to go and actually implement that decision. But he doesn't even end there. He goes further, not only to review the decision, but to ensure that Siyabonga Gama is repaid the money that wasn't paid to him during the time that he was out of a job, the CEO of Transnet Freight Rail, and becoming the group CEO of Transnet,
yeah.
Money that amounts to 13 million. But also, Clem, this Siyabonga Gama had gone to court to try and challenge his dismissal. He failed in the High Court. The High Court says he must pay costs to Transnet. But guess what? The chairperson of the board makes sure that Siyabonga Gama is paid 4 million rand in costs, as opposed to the other way around as the court has ordered.
Wait, so, hold on.
I mean,
the court said Siyabonga Gama pay back the money. So the court said, Siyabonga Gama, you need to pay the legal costs at Transnet. But
right.
Then what Transnet then does is actually pay him the money instead.
Yes, and 10 times what the law had actually found that was due in terms of it. So if the lawyer said the money that is due for legal costs for all the lawyers of Transnet and the directors, because he took Transnet and the other directors to court, the court says, well, these are the legal costs, and the lawyer say the legal costs are 400,000. But at the end of the day, Transnet pays him 4 million.
From 400,000. Okay. And then there was an issue around the amount of money that was calculated. There was a 12 million or 13 million that was mentioned. What was that about?
Okay. There are two amounts. The first million is 30, the first amount is 13 million, and that is, as I said, benefits, back pay for him being out of the job. Remember that he's dismissed for misconduct, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's out of the job for 9 months and he's fighting for his job and he's going to the president and the minister and eventually gets his job back. So he's back paid that money, but he's also then appointed to be the group CEO. So, I mean, okay, let's then look at why it is that he was dismissed. Just two examples. Mm. One example is that he awarded a contract for 18 million to General Nyanda Security Services, and simply because he played ball for them, an open tender procurement process was set aside so that this contract could be signed.
Mm.
That is one. Secondly, the board makes a specific or gives a specific instruction that you're going to refer this locomotive. Make sure that job is done by Transnet Engineering. Guess what? He gives it to an international company, and that international company has honored the project manager and his wife who have interest in this. So, two things. So, I mean, these are just one and two. Then, when he is being taken to task, and he goes out and basically says the board and other executives are on a witch hunt.
Mm.
So, three charges that he was found guilty of and actually eventually admitted. So in spite of all of this, when he dismissed for these charges, the board then decides that when he comes back, he should be paid that money. So the deputy chief justice is saying, how are you treating this person like he did nothing wrong? So that's the first 13 million, right?
Mm.
The second amount of 4 million, as I said, is these legal costs because he had tried to go to the High Court to challenge the disciplinary process and it failed. And so the High Court then says, as a result, you are now liable for costs. But then he gets paid money back instead.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. No, what's coming out of the State Capture Commission, really, it's a movie. Mtakwana, thank you so much for giving us just a quick rundown of what happened yesterday. Mtakwana Ngatani is our EWN reporter. I was just so shocked listening to that testimony yesterday. How have you reacted to that? 011-883-0702. I'm also taking your calls on any other issue that you want to raise on the open line this morning. Maybe you want to talk about that tweet by Mzwandile Masina as well. So I'm going to your calls now at 19 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
Let's start Kopitori in Acadia. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm good, how are you doing?
Clement, is Joe here.
Mm.
black professional or not black professional, if you are a thief, you are a thief. Mzwandile must stop defending thieves. Those thieves must go to jail. They cannot continue to claim to defend black professionals, whereas they know that these people are stealing from the poor.
Mm, mm.
So Mzwandile, if he's one of them, he must also go to jail. He mustn't try to protect the thieves who have been stealing from the poor. Mm. People continue to suffer for the past 25 years because the ANC put thieves in government who do not care about the interest of the poor.
Yeah. Joe, thank you so much for that contribution. John, you're in Lynnwood. Good morning.
Good morning.
Mm.
You know, the recently written history book, the books tell a story of the new guys, the good guys, the new rulers rode into town in 1994. South Africa was a failed state. There was no money. The coffers were empty. Our ratings were minus 15 or whatever they were. And they inherited a failed state from the Boer. Now, the question I always ask myself, if this was a failed state, where did the money come from for the politicians to steal? It just doesn't make sense to me. We told we inherited a failed state. We fixed it up. Where did the money come from?
Well, we've been paying taxes, John, haven't we?
Well, yes. You know, I suppose I expected that you were saying the tax money was stolen. Good. I'm pleased to hear that. I just thought I'd pose
that.
Yeah,
it was. I mean, it's taxpayers' money, John. When you look at the asbestos project, when you look at Bosasa also getting contracts yes. from the correctional services because they are paying these politicians and giving them bribes, at the end of yes. the day, that is the money that we as South Africans are paying in taxes. So that's what they're stealing.
Agreed. I just thought I'd like to hear it.
All right. Thank you, John. Thank you so much for your call. Okay. I don't know. I don't know if John was trying to suggest that we didn't inherit a failed state. We inherited a state, you know, that still had coffers. But I think we've been paying taxes, right? So that's where the money has been stolen. That's what they're stealing. Otto, you're calling us from Boksburg. Hi.
Yes. You know, I agree with, you know, the previous caller
mm-hmm.
that yeah, that my mayor, Mzwandile Masina, if he is involved in corruption, let him go to jail as well. But my point is, at the next general election, I would like to vote directly for the president. And I also want to vote for the mayor and, you know, the premier. You know, I know that Herman Mashaba and Mukurego Shengwa of IFP agree with me on this point. Can you and your listeners make it possible for me to vote for the president directly in the next coming election and change the Electoral Act? That is my plea to you and the people of South Africa.
Oh, that's a big ask, Otto, because we don't have that power. What you'll be able to do in the next elections, you will be able to directly vote for candidates that can represent you in parliament. And I think what you would need is maybe support some of the organizations that are pushing for electoral reforms for us to get to a point where we can vote for the president directly. That's not the case at the moment under the current legislation. So maybe vote and maybe join Musi Mamani's organization. That's what I think he's been trying to push for, but I don't think us as the station and the listeners will be able to do that, Otto. But I hear where you're coming from. You want to vote directly for your president so that you are able to say, I want you to account because I voted for you. Because at this stage, we vote for political parties and they choose who they deploy in government. Moshere, you're in Pretoria. Good morning.
Yes, Clement. How are you this morning?
Good, good. How are you doing?
All right. Clement, quickly with the issue from Masina. Normally, our leaders, when they are caught up with their hands in the cooking jar, they want to use the skin color to try to cover their actions. Mm. It can be. If you're caught stealing, you need to be punished. Let's leave out this, the issue of the skin color. there is some consequences. The Clement, on the issue of Thuli Madonsela, I'm very much disappointed because Thuli had an ample opportunity. She's the one who drafted the issue of, she started with the issue of the Zondo Commission. She was given an opportunity to put everything that, if she wanted people to be given amnesty, that should have been included in the first report that she did table. I mentioned this a number of times, that going forward, when people are going to testify, and we're seeing a large number of people coming out to implicate those who are loved by certain group, we going.
Yes, Mushara? I'm losing you, Mushara.
What I'm saying is, I don't agree with what Thuli is saying about the issue of amnesty, because she's the one who put together the report of the state capture inquiry. She should have included that initially. But now that realizing, one is suspecting that some of the people that are now being mentioned, one is just suspecting that it might be that her friends. Now she started trying to get them out of the law. It can't be right. If they are also involved in corruption, they need to pay like everybody else. It can't be that we have leaders who are targeting certain individuals. When you realize that also your favorite are also part of the group that is stealing.
So you think she's suggesting this, Mushara, because she's trying, you know, to protect some of her faves that could be involved? Okay.
One is suspecting that, because why, when, because she's the one who put together
As a matter of principle, though, Mushara, let's put aside the report that she compiled, that has now given birth to the State Capture Commission. What is your view as a matter of principle? Because what she's argued, from my understanding, is she says we need to go after the big fish, right? So you need people that may have been complicit to corrupt activities. If they are coming to give you information about the big fish, and then we need to be able to say, here's amnesty, give us information, then that's going to divulge and expose the bigger criminal enterprise. So do you think then, if there is no amnesty for those that were complicit, maybe at lower levels, then people are not going to be encouraged to come out and expose the guys that are running the criminality, and that are the ones, even I suppose, are the big fish and are interfering and ensuring that they are the big benefactors?
Clement, I would love to differ with that. If we will be talking about the issue of amnesty, TLC should be the practical example. A number of people didn't appear before the TLC, the big fish that we're talking about. What happened to them? Did they get arrested? If the answer is no, then why do we want to repeat the same mistake?
Mushara, I hear your point. Thank you so much for calling, man. Mushara is calling us from Pretoria. There's some voice notes coming through on Mzwanile Masina on 0727021702.
Hey, hi, Clement. You are speaking to Kanyisani Fala Kembanza. I'm from Mahlabathini, KZN. Hi, Mzwanile Masina is talking rubbish. You cannot say that. He's not even sure if these people he's relating to are guilty or not. So what he was talking was just uncalled for. So it was totally wrong. All right, thank you.
Hi, Clement. This is Sidon. Tutsumane, man. We all know where Mzwanile Masina's loyalty is, man. Without mentioning names. So, really, we can't fall for his narrow-mindedness and hatred for, you know, the cleansing of corruption. Thank you.
I'll take more of your views on what Mzwanile Masina tweeted. Let me go to Herman Mashaba now, who's given us a call. Mr. Mashaba, hi.
Hi, good morning, Clement.
Good morning.
Good good morning. I just heard one of your listeners raising a very, very important point around the election of public representatives. I want to assure people of South Africa during the People's Dialogue, we've given a commitment that our public representatives are going to be elected by the people directly, not by us as a political party behind closed doors. So he's got a home, he'll have an opportunity to decide who becomes a mayor in his area, who becomes a ward councillor, the president.
Your voice,
your station,
your open line.
Walk the Talk with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
And you walk the talk with us. You can call us on 011-883-0702. I'm going to take those calls now. I also want to hear what people are saying on the voice note line on 072-702-1702 about Mr. Mkhwanazi, who was on the stand at the State Capture Inquiry yesterday. Walter on Twitter says, Clement, this witness, Mr. Mkhwanazi, must be one of the worst witnesses at the State Capture Commission. Very close to Mr. Ndzeku.
Morning, Clement. This is Teboho from Rustenburg. I've got a bit of a concern regarding the whistleblowers that are actually, or the people that are coming forward with information. The likes of Akriti. I mean, why was he taken to a public hospital in the first place? It's as if someone wants him dead, so that the information that he's willing to divulge cannot come out. I mean, we really need to do whatever possible to protect these witnesses and these whistleblowers.
Yeah, look, the government pays for when a prisoner is admitted in hospital. So they're not going to take you to a private hospital unless your family makes arrangements for that. And maybe your condition is deteriorating and needs the attention of you know, private medical help. So, and I think in this case, the correctional services, like any other prisoner, took him to a public facility, and then the family made arrangements, worried about the condition, and said, let's move him to a private facility, and they will be responsible for that.
Hi, Clement. This is Jackie. The only worry for me is what's going to happen after the state capture. Are these people going to be arrested, or is it just a waste of money? I mean, we spend over $1 billion on the state capture inquiry. What's going to happen after the report has been issued? That's my worry. Jackie from Soweto.
Well, some things are happening already, hey, Jackie. The new regulations that were signed by President Cyril Ramaphosa, was it a month or 2 months ago, allowing for partnership between the NPA and other law enforcement agencies and the legal team at the State Capture Inquiry. So the NPA can now access the evidence that the State Capture Inquiry has. And they've already started working on some of that evidence that they've managed to have. And they can work even with the lawyers at the State Capture Inquiry. So I think things are happening now. Let me go back to the lines. David, you're in Sebokeng. Good morning.
Hello, how are you, Tlemi?
Kishab, how are you?
Hey, Kishab, man. Mamela, ki ngola criminal law, sani kwa tlatfela ho practice akalona. One.
Okay. We are here.
No, thanks for the answer, the one that you just said. So, state, for it to have confidence, it should use state hospitals. It cannot go for private.
Yeah.
That one can arrive. You answered it correctly. Just two quick points. One, I have a problem. There is this thing of the DCG issuing out subpoena to the Jacob Zuma's children to be investigated.
Mm.
Why not with also a crazy? Because it was last week said that even his wife had about 12 million somewhere and 33 million is in Italy.
Yes.
Why is she not investigated?
Mm.
Even the same crazy through Nomvula Mukonyane, alleged that even the daughter to Nomvula Mukonyane was sent overseas for her studies, bought an Audi car in here, etc. Why is she not investigated? You see, once you play inconsistency in law, you allow now the issue of neutrality and impartiality coming in, and that gives a problem to the people.
So, David, when I was covering the state capture inquiry when Angelo Agrizi took the stand, and I remember the commission asked him tough questions about the role of his wife, the role his wife played in defrauding SARS. Because, and I don't have the clear details in my mind now, but I think there was a period where the wife started working for, or wasn't even working for BOSASA, but was getting paid, you know, or something along those lines. So I think the Deputy Chief Justice and the legal team did ask questions about the role of the wife in defrauding the system and defrauding SARS and the wife getting monies that she didn't really work for. What I think is happening now is not that the Deputy Chief Justice is now investigating the children of Jacob Zuma, but it's more, I mean, state capture and this criminal enterprise is so multifaceted, right? Politicians are very smart. They know that when they're getting into these dodgy deals, obviously they're not going to use their accounts. You know, they may use the accounts of their children, of their cousins. You see it happening even with VBS and how that money was looted. And I think maybe that's what they're trying to do now, to connect the dots and say, Jacob Zuma, you may not have received money directly. Julius Malema, you may not have received money directly into your account, but there are people that are related to you that may have received some money that was looted, either from VBS or from state coffers. I thought that's how I understood it.
Okay. Yeah, just on that issue. I have a problem with the VBS. Mm. Like, I know how criminals work. But now, let me come to this one. If Brian Shibambu, that is the brother, younger brother to Floyd, went to VBS, got a loan, legitimately and validly so, and decides to buy his brother, say a Range Rover Sport, whatever car it is, or even you yourself, you go to the bank, you get a loan, then you take your wife, sorry, I know you are not yet married, but you take your girlfriend to a holiday. So now, the problem is, if that loan was legitimately acquired through a contract between yourself and the bank.
A dodgy contract, to say, eh?
No. I'm using the legal words here.
Yeah.
It's legitimate, it's valid. So the problem lies with the one who signed the contract in terms of law of obligation. If he's able to repay what the contract wants him to repay every month until he finishes, what he uses his money for, whether to buy a girlfriend or your brother a car, it's none of your brother's business.
But did the person qualify for the contract? For instance, a loan. I think there was an instance where someone applied for a home loan of about R1 million or so, but the person was a DJ. Did you qualify for the loan? That's another question we need to ask, I think, David. But thanks for your contribution. I have to leave it there because I've got many other calls that I want to take. Naledi, you're in Rustenburg. Good morning.
Morning. How are you, Clement?
I'm okay, Naledi. How are you doing?
I'm fine. In fact, I agree with Advocate Tuli Madonsela for the amnesty. Why? Because we need those, the truth, nothing else but the truth. And we need those monies which they took from the coffers of the people, and that was not their money. And one thing, if we don't tell them that we are going to give them amnesty, nobody's going to tell the truth at Commissioner Zondo. So that was another option which Advocate Tuli Madonsela mentioned. We must say, okay, come to the Commissioner, we tell the truth, nothing else but the truth. Then from there, the whole Commissioner report and everything, that will rely with the Commissioner, Judge Zondo, and the President, who is to get amnesty and not. Because some other people know the truth, but they are scared to go there because they know they are going to be arrested. So rather, let's get the money, then we'll see the amnesty after.
But should they receive amnesty, lady? So where's the accountability? So you are basically rewarding them for coming up and exposing the big fish, but at what point do they get held to account for the criminal activity that they were complicit to? Why don't you then say, okay, you'll get into this plea deal with the NPA, and then what we'll do is, instead of giving you 50 years in jail, we'll give you 25. Like, why do you have to give them amnesty? Where's the accountability in that?
Isn't it that is another option, which Advocate Madonsela was saying, let's rather go for a bargain and say, we are going to give them amnesty. It's not to say we're just saying amnesty, like, you know, you must tell the truth at the commissioner. From there, the whole report is going to be compiled. Mm. After being compiled, we get the money from wherever the money was hidden and all those things. Then the president and the judge Zondo are the ones who are going to say, okay, you were honest to us, you told us the truth, now we're going to penalize you for this because you knew what we were doing was wrong. You took the tax people's money, which was not supposed to be used on your personal capacity. Then from there, we'll get the whole truth. Otherwise, we won't get any truth from anybody. That report is not to say Advocate Tuluma Dondela was saying people must be jailed or what.
All right. Naledi, thank you for your contribution. Do you agree with Naledi and Advocate Madonsela? I'll take your views. Mark, you're calling us from Centurion. Hi.
Hi, Clement. Very quickly to Naledi, no amnesty. Everything does come out, and if you get found one thing, off you go. That's my personal view on that. The second thing is I've got an answer for Jackie. And then also a couple of weeks ago, a chap called John or Brian phoned in and he was like bitterly complaining about these politicians that they are basically powerful. Mm. They can make the rules as they go along. I don't know if you remember that particular call. And he was like quite downtrodden because, you know, these politicians do whatever they want and nobody holds them accountable. And so everybody out there, I can just repeat what I've maybe said before, and I might sound like a fake record. It's the electorate, the people that vote for parties and people that put these people into power.
Mm.
They ultimately enable them to do whatever they want, to appoint people in the NPA and the SIU and whoever else in their organization to protect themselves. And if people would just stop complaining and whining and carrying on talk radio, okay, I would actually just like to repeat to everybody who's listening out there, people, next year we've got elections, do something about it and vote these people out. Because if these people are not in these powerful positions anymore, they can't wreak any more havoc on this country.
Mm. Yeah, Mark, thank you so much. Mark says, go and make your voice heard at the polls. Kabelo, you are in Basonia. Hi.
Hi, Clement.
Sure, Kabelo.
Yes, amen. I've got a lot of work, but I thought I should make a quick input. Mzwandile Masina's tweet. I'm not condoning it. However, we should give him an ear. Yeah, and you see, I've said it before and I'll say it again. The ANC has inherited the National Party's behavior but now they forget one thing, that now corruption and all the dirty work is exposed easily. It's not like before, where people used to do whatever and act with impunity. They used to get away with everything. Last month we had Ubabu Mdlemeza there. He said something very important. He has answered all our questions. We dropped the ball when we took over. There was the TRC commission. There was a lot of commissions. There were recommendations to the current government saying, hey, here are the answers to all your questions. Here are the recommendations. But nothing happened. So all those people, they got away with it. They were corrupt prior 1994. They got themselves rich. They're still living out largely. They're living out peacefully. They are far better off now compared to then in apartheid. So now the ANC, they saw that, oh, maybe if we could do what they did, we'll also get away with it. Do you get what I'm saying? People like Zuma, they know things that we're not aware of. You understand? They were in the office. They know. There are some documents. Classified documents, they know things that we don't know. That is why they're behaving like this, thinking that they will get away with it. People like Melissa Kikado, look at what's happening now at Zondo. People are doing as they please, because that's what the National Party used to do.
Yeah, yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
I get you, Kabelo, but when you started, you said we need to give Mzwandile Masina an ear. So I was trying to see how you are linking what you've just said now to what Mzwandile Masina said about black people coming together and uniting because it's blacks and black businesses that are being targeted.
It's not only black, even white businesses are corrupt, even in this new democracy. There's a lot of white businesses that are corrupt. So I think for everybody to be at peace, we need to go back.
Yeah.
We need to go back and look at all those documents and those recommendations by Ubabu Mdlemeza from the TRC and all the corrupt people that benefited during apartheid.
Yeah, look, tell that to the government, eh? Tell that to the ANC. I asked Advocate Mdlemeza when we had him on the show, why do you think the recommendations have still not been implemented? Why are there still no prosecutions arising from that TRC commission? And he said, that's the question that the ruling party needs to answer. And he's suggested even in the past that, you know, from what even the heads of the NPA had said previously, there seemed to be some interference, you know, and some influence coming from outside for the NPA not to go after those people that were implicated at the TRC. MJ, you're calling from Pretoria. Hello.
Hey, Clement, how are you?
Keshap, how are you?
No, I'm fine, man. I would like to strongly disagree with Advocate Tulima Donsela and the previous caller, Naledi, I think it was.
Mm.
Look, Clement, crime is crime. And we should not think about crime and amnesty looking at the state capture only. And you cannot exonerate a criminal simply because they come and are willing to testify against those that they were complicit with when they committed crime.
Mm.
Let me give you this classical example. The former CFO of BVS, he volunteered to cooperate with the state because he knew exactly he would actually be able to at least get a lesser sentence by cooperating with the state. That is some kind of a relief that you can give to those who are willing to come. But to exonerate people who actually benefited from the very same crime by giving them amnesty simply because they are willing to come forward, it's wrong. Mm. And you are setting a wrong precedent, because then you would have to look at criminals in a broader sense, not only in terms of the state capture alone.
Mm.
We are setting a wrong precedent, and I think Advocate Tulima Donsela, having studied law, should know that if the law applies selectively to suit certain individuals, it's wrong. And I think I agree with Mushere when he said, because that was my suspicion also, that she see the net is now widening, and maybe some of those who are close to her will be implicated in one way or the other. That is just a suspicion that I also had.
Yeah.
So I think it is wrong.
Yeah, there's another person here who has the same suspicion, MJ, on SMS line, says, Tulima Donsela is getting worried that the net is closing in on her close friends. No amnesty for corrupt individuals, this person says. MJ, thank you so much for your contribution. You disagree with that view by the advocate. Jan, you are in Silver Lakes. Hi.
Yes, Clement, how is it?
Sharp, how are you?
You know what, I couldn't agree more with the previous caller. But with one thing that I'm differing with him, to say, look, a criminal is a criminal. Let's see justice being served in this country for once.
Mm.
When people are stealing, I'll give you a comparison. What is the difference between somebody who has an AK-47 bombing and a SDV in the middle of the day, and these guys that are inside VPS and Zondo Commission currently taking billions, not hundreds of thousands? What is the difference between them?
Mm.
Guys are saving time for less amount of money that was stolen. If ever we give those guys amnesty, that means everybody who stole less amount of money, they must be released immediately. And then if those guys are going to be given preference, that means if they are not getting arrested, the state must stop arresting anyone who stole anything with regards to money or any other goods. Until such time, those thugs that are sitting in Zondo Commission smiling and laughing at the jokes, saying that I was signing a document that was costing the state so many millions, but without confirming that what was this for. It's a laughing stock, that was what I'm listening from Zondo Commission. And immediately the hawks should be picking up the same guy without anything of giving them bail, throw them behind. Then they can go and be presented in a court of law like any other person, like you and I. If you steal 100 rand from where you are, I can tell you, you are gone.
I hear you.
That's all I can
say. Jan, I hear you. Where do you strike the balance, Jan, between one, you know, going and swooping in on the people that are suddenly becoming these whistleblowers, and they're telling us that, yes, I was complicit, but here's the evidence that other people were actually more complicit than I was. So how do you balance, one, you need that information, you need that witness to 10 state witness, with also making sure that they are also held sufficiently accountable? Because when you look at Angelo Agritzi, some people have argued, you're allowing, this guy is sick, you are sending him to jail, you're not giving him bail, but you are running the risk of compromising your case as the NPA, because this is the person who would have really become a glue that binds all the other senior officials in the Bosasa corruption case.
Do we have intelligence in this country, Clement? Follow the money. If you follow the money, we don't need agrees, we don't need to follow the money. The money was used properly. If we paid billions to certain companies, we should know exactly what are the costs that is paid towards these companies for. Whether the amount that is paid is being inflated abnormally, like as much as the asbestos project, spending 15 million, taking 200 million. Those we don't need. We need our law enforcement. We need our intel in terms of every department. Every department should be having their own intel in the first place.
Yeah, John. Jan, thank you so much for a call, man. You make interesting points there. And I suppose you need those law enforcement agencies to be fully capacitated to be able to follow the money. Yeah, to be fully funded, to be able to follow the money. And that's not really the case right now, right? Mandla, you're the last caller for the Tuesday edition of the 702 Open Line. What's on your mind?
Thanks, Clement. Yeah, I want to comment on corruption and amnesty. Let me start by this amnesty idea by Thulima Tonsela. She must be remembered that during 6 years.
I'm losing you, Mandla. I'm losing you. Try to move around quickly.
Yeah, I'm saying Thulima Tonsela with her idea of amnesty to criminals. That shall never happen in this country. For the last 26 years, members of APLA were in prison for fighting for freedom. She never came out and said, let us give these members of APLA an amnesty for fighting for freedom. Why today, when the same constitution that she so signed for is now pointing in the direction of ANC people who have stolen from the public purse, she's coming out with the idea of amnesty to criminals? That will never happen.
All right. Mandla, thank you so much. Mandla is calling us from Protea Glenda in Soweto. It's 2 minutes before 10 o'clock.
Hello, Clement. This is Mapula, Road Report. I think Advocate Madonsela's argument is flawed because I think she assumes that the state capture inquiry or any other law enforcement agency cannot investigate. I mean, look at what the Zondo Commission is coming up with through proper and intensive investigation. So for me, no amnesty for anybody.